Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents God Talk, Experiences of Humanity's Connections with a Higher Power, by Neil Donald Walsh, narrated by William Saris. Disclaimer: the information provided in this book is designed to provide helpful information on the subjects discussed. This book is not meant to be used, nor should it be used, to diagnose or treat any medical condition. The author and publisher are not responsible for any specific health needs that may require medical supervision and are not liable for any damages or negative consequences from any treatment, action, application, or preparation to any person hearing or following the information in this book. References are provided for information purposes only and do not constitute endorsement of any individuals, websites, or other sources. In the event you use any of the information in this book for yourself, the author and the publisher assume no responsibility for your actions. Part 1. Understanding God Talk. Where there is isness, there God is. Meister Eckhart. An Unexpected Visit. Don't look now, but God is talking with you. How do you suppose this book came to you at this exact moment in time? Coincidence? Happenstance? Serendipity? Really? During the very period in your life when you could really use some answers, you genuinely think you came across these words as a coincidence? I know, it sounds improbable, if not impossible, that God, if there even is a God, would decide to talk with you personally right now. Why would God want to do that? Let's consider that question within a larger context. What if God is willing to talk to you all the time, and not only to you, but to all of us? Not just the Pope or some saints and sages or an occasional spiritual teacher here and there, or even an author now and then. Suppose God engages in direct communication with everyone who seeks a conversation. Or, to put it even more intriguingly, what if God is communicating with all of us all the time, even when we're not actively seeking such a conversation? Well, here's the news. Both statements are true. Oh, and yes, there is a God. That's also true. Now, the higher power might not be what you think it is, if you think it exists at all. You can refer to it in any way you wish. He, she, life, source, pure energy, the primal essence, the universe, etc. But God is real, all right, and two-way communication with this very real God can change your life. But wait a minute, you might say, insisting on an answer to the earlier question. I really need to know. Why would this God that you say exists suddenly communicate with me if I did not seek such a conversation? The answer is that you did. You might not know or remember that you did or realize how you did, but you did. Nothing comes to you unless you draw it to you in some way. Welcome events, unwelcome events, anticipated events, totally unexpected events. All of life's occurrences, experiences, conditions, circumstances, situations, incidents, and happenings are things that you have drawn to yourself. The only question is whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously, actively or passively, intentionally or unintentionally, purposefully or accidentally. In the present instance, you might have drawn this communication from God unconsciously or passively, but I assure you that it was an energy within you that magnetized the book you are now listening to and delivered it to you, whether you believe that or not. Okay, you might say, let's assume that's possible. But the opening sentence of this book says, God is talking with me. I might have found an interest in this book, but calling it a direct communication from God is another thing entirely. Did you decide that your first book was a conversation with God just because you said that it was? No. Fair question, but the answer is no. I had other, far more compelling, concrete, credible, and convincing reasons to decide that my experience was a direct communication with the divine. and you might feel the same way about this book after you've finished listening to it. Now, for the record, I'm not saying that every word, every sentence, every passage is coming directly from the highest power in the universe, but I am saying that this book arriving in your life at this exact moment, and the main message it is designed to bring you, is a communication from God. It has come to you through what my wonderful friend Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a psychiatrist and author for whom I once worked as a personal assistant, used to call divine intervention. This brings us to the question of exactly how God interacts with us. It is my understanding and my experience that God communicates not just with words, but also, and sometimes only, with actions, events, visions, images, fragrances, sounds, ideas, your feelings, your experience, and an endless list of other phenomena in the physical world. Did you ever have what you felt was a brilliant insight and wonder if it could possibly be true? Then look up at the night sky and, at that exact moment, see a shooting star. Do you think that just happened? Have you ever come to a halt at a stop sign and started up again only to feel an urgent impulse to lift your foot from the accelerator and slam on the brake pedal for no apparent reason? And then, as you did, watched a car whiz through the intersection in front of you at an insane speed, seemingly out of nowhere? Do you think it was simply your good fortune that you were not involved in a terrible accident? Have you ever been served a mouth-wateringly scrumptious souffle as a guest at a friend's home, and then, just before inserting your fork, thought to ask your host, "There's no shellfish in this, is there?" Only to find that the answer was, actually, yes. Do you think it was sheer luck that you avoided being rushed to the hospital with anaphylactic shock because the souffle contained an ingredient to which you are severely allergic? I'd had each of those experiences, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who can tell tales of similar encounters with fate. Now, to bring us to the present moment, do you think that this book popped into your awareness out of the clear blue sky? I'm going to suggest that you called it to you, that you have yearned at some level for a conversation about the divine with the divine, and that it is not a fluke, a coincidence, or an accident that a book with God's messages for you just happened to come into your life. Can anyone talk with God? It is interesting that more people than not believe in a higher power, and that most people who believe in a higher power openly accept that God speaks directly to human beings. I'm told that social anthropologists have taken surveys in countries around the world in recent years, asking a single question: do you believe in a higher power? And that the results have come back showing 8 out of 10 people in virtually every culture say yes. And what I observe, let me say again, is that nearly all those people who believe in God accept that God has spoken to humans. There seems to be little question about this. We have been told that God spoke directly to and then through Enoch, and many agree that this is true. We have been told that God spoke directly to and then through Moses, and many agree that this is true. We have been told that God spoke directly to and then through Zoroaster, and many agree that this is true. We have been told that God spoke directly to and then through Jesus, and many agree that this is true. We have been told that God spoke directly to and then through Muhammad, and many agree that this is true. And those who say that they've heard directly from God have not lived only in ancient times. A man named Mirza Hussein Ali was born on November 12, 1817, in Tehran, Persia, now Iran, and died just 8 years before the 20th century began. He later took the name Baha'u'llah and declared that he had received divine revelations. Out of his experience, the Baha'i faith was born, which is now practiced by millions around the world. The list of people who feel they have heard directly from God grows to this very day. I'll share some examples in part 2 of this book. Of course, not everyone who says they have heard directly from God winds up creating a new religion, but in nearly every case, it winds up becoming the basis of a new person. The person who speaks with God is changed forever, especially if they put into practice what God has said to them. Heresy, insanity, or reality. Now, in addition to the very special and widely noted cases listed earlier, most folks would agree that any human being can talk to God. Some people call this prayer or supplication or adoration. But not everyone agrees that God talks back to humans. Some people call that idea heresy. Some call it insanity. It is neither. It is reality. God is talking to all of us all the time. We have simply labeled God's communications as something else. Women's intuition, a marvelous insight, an epiphany, or even a stroke of genius. We might feel a startling realization or a sudden impulse. We might say these unexpected thoughts come to us out of thin air. We can't readily explain them, and it doesn't occur to most of us, or feel comfortable to many of us, to say they are messages from God. We don't wish to be ridiculed or marginalized, so we avoid such pronouncements, even if we think that God whispering to us is, in a sense, exactly what happened. Now, you might say, "Hey, hold it here. You said earlier that God engages in direct communication with everyone who seeks a conversation. Now you're saying that God is talking to all of us all the time. Which is it?" It's both. Here's the deal. All of us are seeking a conversation with God all the time. Even those people who don't believe in a higher power are doing so. We're talking about energetics here. All of life is energy, and we, that is, all humans, along with everything else, plants, animals, stones, mountains, planets, suns, stars, clouds, winds, insects, you name it, are energy projectors. We are made of energy. We are absorbing energy, and we are projecting energy in every moment. The yearning for answers to life's biggest mysteries is a projection of our mental, emotional, and spiritual energies of the highest order. So are our inner pleadings when we're trying to find solutions to deeply personal or urgently pressing dilemmas. We are calling out from inside of us to something outside of us. Whether or not we refer to it as God, that calling is received and responded to immediately. Even when we're not being faced with a major challenge or a real calamity, but are just dealing with minor frustrations and day-to-day challenges, we sigh and earnestly wish for guidance from somewhere, if only from inside of us, where we hope that insight, wisdom, or memory of someone else's similar dilemma might reside. In this way, we are seeking to have a conversation with God, if we believe that God exists, or to connect with some wellspring of wisdom and clarity in the universe. We are reaching out to some source of more information about our present predicament or quandary than we seem able to put our hands on in the present moment. I believe that it is in response to this calling that the book you are now listening to has found its way to you. Now, I say we are talking to God all the time because we yearn for ease, peace, joy, clarity, and love all the time, and we project that longing outward in nearly every moment of life. These are our natural hopes and dreams, the preferences and desires of our species. The vibrations of this energy reach into the universe like the ringing of God's doorbell. We might say that we're not actively seeking a conversation with God, but at the very least, most of us prefer and hope for a good day, a good week, a good month, a good year, and a good life. And when God opens the door and asks, "Can I help you?" our hearts and minds make our desires clear, whether we use words or not. I see that I am beginning to answer the question that opens the next section of this book. Why talk with God? There are moments in everyone's life when we just fall to our knees, often figuratively but sometimes actually, as we find ourselves confronted with the never-ending challenges of simple day-to-day existence in the physical realm. It is in moments such as these that talking with God can make a huge difference. Such a conversation helps us understand more, bolstering our stamina and renewing our determination. The information we receive revitalizes our spirits in ways that do not just allow us to go on, but motivate, encourage, and inspire us to go on. Sometimes only a message from God can do that, so it will serve us to remember what I said earlier. God communicates with us not only with words, but with all the phenomena of the physical world. I've mentioned a perfectly timed shooting star and a surprising impulse to hit the brakes, which can also happen when you're not in your car, but sometimes in your mind. God's message can also be found in a particular book with a title you had never even thought of listening to a couple of months or years ago. So be open to these messages from God, even if you don't believe in God, or you think that God exists but would never communicate directly with you. Views, perspectives, and horizons. Our tomorrows change when our energy changes. Remember when I said that energy creates everything? Okay, maybe I didn't say those exact words, but I should have. I did say that everything that exists is energy in some form, and now I'm saying that because this is true, energy creates everything that is occurring. Energy affects energy. You can prove this by pouring boiling hot water into ice-cold water, or by saying something to your life partner in a particularly loving tone. Energy, therefore, produces a change of energy in other things. Change is another word for creation. When a thing changes, it is not what it was before. It has therefore been recreated. Now, what we call thought is also energy. It can be measured. It can often be felt. You can feel your own thoughts and even another's thoughts about you, even if they say nothing out loud about what they think of you. Likewise, others can often feel your thoughts about you, even if you say nothing out loud about what you think of yourself. So, we know that thoughts are creative. They are productive. They can generate outcomes. Now, if you hold a thought that there is a God, and that God can and does communicate directly with human beings, including you, you will likely find yourself talking with God as you go through your days and nights, especially at important moments on your journey. And yes, you may very often hear God talking with you. The challenge is that our culture does not hold a universal belief that such a thing can happen, and so we are not widely supported in embracing our experience. Many people write off what they hear as a figment of their imagination, wishful thinking, or even self-delusion. Yet, if we reject our society's general skepticism or dubious response to the idea that God talks to us, and I mean directly and personally to us individually, we will no doubt broaden our horizons, enlarge our perspectives, and expand our views of life as a result of hearing what God has had to say in a million different ways in thousands of different moments across hundreds of lifetimes. People who hear God's messages and act on them enlarge not only their perspectives, but their prospectives. That is, the chances of their future being filled with real joy, personal happiness, individual achievement, valuable contribution to others, and true inner peace will very likely be dramatically increased. And that is the reason to talk with God. We need to be clear about this. When we speak about talking with God and hearing God's messages, it is vitally important for us to fully and deeply understand the true nature of God. We must be absolutely clear about the only plausible, valid, genuine, accurate, and credible messages the divine would send to us. They will follow these rules. 1. God's messages are always in your best interest. 2. God's messages carry positive, loving energy. 3. God would never, ever send a message to anyone instructing them to hurt or injure another. Sadly, people have sometimes suffered delusions and then harmed or even killed others, saying that God told them to do so. On a broader scale, more wars have been fought on earth in the name of God and under the banner of religion than for any other single reason. How can humans do those things? Many of us have often thought about this. Yet even the Bible says that God has called upon humans to kill other humans. If you read that book with a calculator in hand and add up the deaths, you will find accounts of God ordering millions to be killed for a variety of reasons. Can this be true? No. It is true that such directives appear to have been written into the Bible, but it is not true that God actually gave those instructions. I believe the authors of those passages were, simply and sadly, deluded. How can we recognize a real God message? In addition to running it through the three tests mentioned earlier, I further believe that by entering into your own direct interaction with the divine, you will find out what is true and what is not true. All of humanity will one day come to understand fully and completely and accurately the true nature of the divine and why it could never be true that God ever told anyone to end the life of another. God's message to the world. The huge television studio lights were on. The microphones were picking up every word, and the cameras were rolling. Okay, you claim to have talked directly with God, so tell us, what is God's message to the world? The speaker was the famous host of one of America's most popular national television morning shows. He was asking me to answer the biggest question of all time. Can you bring it down to a sentence or two? He added. We have about 30 seconds. My mind raced. How could I say something in 30 seconds that would capture the essence of what God wants the world to know? Then, in one quick flash, I heard God's answer in my head. I blinked and made an announcement that surprised even me. Actually, I can bring it down to 5 words. The host raised his eyebrows, telegraphing a nanosecond of disbelief as he deadpanned to the camera. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, from a man who says he communes with the divine, here is God's message to the world, in 5 words. I knew that millions were watching in households around the globe. This was my chance to bring God's most important communication to more people than I'd ever imagined I would or could in my lifetime. Looking straight into the lens, I repeated the words I had just been given to share. You've got me all wrong. I later wrote a book titled God's Message to the World. Those 5 words form the subtitle. You might find that text to be interesting reading. The True Nature of God. If we think that God is vindictive, if we believe that God wants people to be killed for reasons that are justified, if we hold that God judges, condemns, and punishes us for not doing what God wants, we will create a world in which we will be vindictive, in which we will ourselves allow people to be killed for reasons that we justify. We will judge, condemn, and punish others for not doing what we want. This is, of course, exactly the kind of world in which we live. And yes, many of us have wondered, how can humans do those things? We have completely missed the fact that the way we treat others is based on our collective belief about God's behavior with us, a belief based on writings from thousands of years ago that claim to reveal what God has told to humans who have talked with Him. Wouldn't it seem prudent for us to have our own conversations with God and find out whether anything of those ancient messages might have been lost in the translation or misunderstood in the first place? Have you ever played one of those parlor games in which people whisper something in someone's ear, who then whispers it into another's ear, with that person doing the same, until the message has gone all around the room, only to find that what the last person heard is an inaccurate version of what the first person said. Multiply that effect times thousands of years and millions of ears, and you can imagine why it might be a good idea for you to have your own talk with God. The last time I did, less than 26 months prior to writing this book, I received a message I called the God Solution. I was told that humanity could and would eliminate a massive number of the problems in our world if we simply embraced a new definition of God. God, I was told, is most accurately defined by two words, pure love. Now, when I share this in a group setting, some well-meaning person inevitably raises a hand and says, "Oh, Neil, we have been listening for 20 minutes for you to tell us that the great new revelation is that God is love? Everybody knows that. Every religion teaches that. Our religions may differ on dogma and doctrine, but no religion denies that God is love." It's in that moment I find myself gently holding up my hand and saying, "Wait a minute. I didn't say God is love. I said God is pure love." "Okay," my friend in the audience will respond, "what's the difference?" The difference, I offer, is that pure love needs, expects, requires, and demands nothing in return. Now, if we accept this as our new definition of God, and especially if we share it with others, something we'll talk about more later in this book, we will soon realize that this is hugely different from most Orthodox teachings about a higher power. It is such an enormous divergence that it raises the question, can our species dare to believe it? To do so would create nothing less than a global theological revolution. Most world religions would say that it was blasphemy to declare that God needs nothing, demands nothing, and therefore never judges, condemns, or punishes, because they teach exactly the opposite. But consider this: a new definition would reverse our fundamental understanding of God. It would place a new standard before the world, a new ethic, a new moral foundation undergirding both our collective and individual choices and decisions. We could no longer internally rationalize or justify any less than kind treatment of others based on our assertion that this is the way God treats us. I have often observed with despair that many of us can't interact with the person on the pillow next to us with pure love. How many of us can swear that when we say, "I love you," to a life partner, we mean, "I need, expect, and require nothing in return"? And we certainly can't imagine a God who interacts this way with us. The best reason of all. So we discover that there are at least three reasons to talk with God. 1, to broaden our horizons and enhance our perspective. 2, to become very clear on the true nature of divinity. 3, to bring pure love into our most intimate relationships. And wait, I can think of another reason, perhaps the best reason of all on a personal level. 4, to end our loneliness. I have not yet met a person who has not, at least once in their life, felt desolate and lonely, even with people all around them. Sometimes, especially with people all around them. All of us yearn for someone to talk with about the most important things, our biggest fears, our deepest longings, our worst mistakes, our biggest regrets, our most selfish dreams, our highest hopes. All of us ache for someone to hear our most agonizing confessions, to answer life's most perplexing questions, and to help us heal our most painful wounds. We need someone to offer us heart-filling, mind-comforting, soul-opening companionship on this long and lonely journey through life. During those middle-of-the-night realizations, we uncover our fourth and best response to the question, "Why talk with God?" And interestingly, ending our loneliness is what many of us do when talking with God, whether we call it conversations with God or not. Then, there's only one question.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?